Conversations with Joan Lewis.
Joan, welcome back to another program.
Well, you know, I was just looking over the past week because I've been so impressed by the amount of activities, and I actually counted them. Since our last show, in was actually 6 days of news in the Vatican, on the Vatican, the bulletin of the press office, there were 30 separate stories. Almost all had to do with the Holy Father. Some were simply private audiences or nominations, but there were 30 separate stories. And if you look at speeches he actually gave, it was 10. Including groups he met, the general audience, a message that was actually a letter to Jacques Dieu Fafau for World Food Day. We had two events in Verona. There was the second funeral of a cardinal in a week. We had the funeral for Cardinal Mario Francesco Pompeda, and obviously just a few days earlier, 5-6 days earlier, had been the funeral of Cardinal Monduzzi. So it was a big, active week for the Holy Father from the point of view of speeches, of documents, letters, messages, general audience, and so forth. And also an event that not directly linked with him, but that he kind of picked up later on in the week, and just about every media outlet in the world did, the Vatican's traditional message to Muslims for the end of Ramadan came out after our last show. And of course, that got huge play by the media. And the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue always does come out with a message to the Muslims. However, this year, very, very unusually, two things. It was presented at a press conference in the Holy See press office instead of just being printed up as a bulletin and put out there for distribution. And secondly, the message also came out in Arabic. And the message does say that while both religions, for example, contemplate and thank God for all that is good, it is impossible not to take note of the serious problems that affect our times, the injustices, poverty, tensions, and conflicts between countries as well as within them. And then it does mention what's on everyone's mind, naturally. Violence and terrorism are a particularly painful scourge. So many lives destroyed, so many women widowed, so many children who've lost a parent, so many children orphaned, so many wounded, physically and spiritually. And it the letter asks, as Muslims and Christian believers, are we not the first to be called to offer our specific contribution to resolve this serious problem? And that message, which is obviously much, much longer than I gave indication of here, but the Pope referred again at the Angelus on Sunday to the Muslims having ended their year of Ramadan, and he said to Muslims, to all of them, go my best wishes for peace and serenity. But he did add that in contrast to this climate of joy, is the news from Iraq of the serious situation of insecurity and the merciless violence to which so many innocent people are exposed simply because they are Shiite, Sunni, or Christian. But you know what's very interesting? There was a letter that came out last week. I didn't put this in my notes for today, so I don't remember all the details. But there were 38 Muslim leaders, religious leaders, legal scholars, so forth and so on, that signed a letter. I'm going to say this was like 10 or so days ago, signed a letter to Pope Benedict in which, among other things, they acknowledge what he said at Regensburg. They acknowledge what he has said about that since then. But this letter, which in essence reflects the will of Muslims to dialogue with the church, and that's what the Holy Father has said that he wants too, is dialogue, and let's, where we can, where we share ideas and values, let's work on that. So all of a sudden comes out this wonderful letter with Muslims essentially saying, hey, you know what, we're willing to sit down and talk about this. And that doesn't appear anywhere. But we've kind of stressed that aspect of the week, but there was another aspect of this week for the Holy Father that in many ways involved, of course, his predecessor. And, you know, there's a foundation called the John Paul II Foundation, and it was established by that Pope himself in 1981 through a papal decree. And the now head of that is Cardinal Stanislaw Żywiec, who was the Pope's secretary for so many decades, and who on October 24th took possession of his titular church in Rome, Santa Maria del Popolo. But he was also in Rome as head of the foundation, to meet with the Holy Father to have one of their several-time-a-year meetings. And this foundation, it serves many, many purposes, one of which is to obviously keep alive the legacy and the teachings of John Paul II, and it also just simply the preservation and development of Christian heritage and culture, and then keeping alive John Paul's legacy. Also, assistance to Christian pilgrims who come to the Vatican, in particular Polish pilgrims and those from Eastern Europe. And so the Holy Father met with them, and I think there were like 800 members of the foundation present. And in his talk, he highlighted the various aims and goals of this foundation, but he said the aspect he wanted to underline in that talk the other day was its study of the pontificate of John Paul II. He called him philosopher, theologian, great pastor of the church, saying he left us a wealth of writings and gestures expressing his desire to spread the gospel of Christ in the world using the methods indicated by Vatican Council II. And the Pope said these precious gifts cannot be forgotten, and he encouraged the members of the foundation to take John Paul's message and transmit it to future generations. And of course, then I think it was 2 days later that Cardinal Żywiec did take possession of his church. It's a stunning church. It's one of three churches on Piazza del Popolo in Rome.
Yes, it's amazing, isn't it? And two churches are identical.
Two are absolutely twin churches. It's like something's wrong with your vision. You're looking down Via del Corso, which leads from Piazza del Popolo to Piazza Venezia. This perfectly straight street, called Via del Corso because once races.
It was a race course.
Exactly. And on both sides of Via del Corso are these other two churches.
But that Piazza del Popolo has lots of really lovely exhibitions in it as well, and it's a beautiful, beautiful square. And
oh, the church is
the
harmony.
Perfect. Oh, it's lovely.
The harmony of it is really lovely. And ever since it's become just a pedestrian area, I mean, taxis can go right around the perimeter, but there's no cars really allowed in the piazza. And
well, it's
that's
got a
lovely
atmosphere. Whatever time of day you go there.
That's true.
And
it's enchanting at night as well as it is beautiful during the day. And the church, Our Lady Santa Maria del Popolo, and it's called del Popolo. There two reasons are given, but I think Cardinal Żywiec kind of settled it the other night when he said it was the people's money that built this church. So St. Mary of the people, it was their contributions that built it early on. And I mean, if you want to go into a stunning church that is also practically a museum, Santa Maria del Popolo has works by Pinturicchio, Caravaggio, Bernini, and Raphael. I mean, it is just, you just want to walk in slowly, go around to all the chapels, then to the main altar, look at the ceilings. I mean, it is stunning. And it was a very suitable framework for the lovely Mass. And one of the most moving things of the Mass, to be honest with you, was Cardinal Żywiec concelebrated with Archbishops Jim Harvey, prefect of the papal household, and Piero Marini, the papal liturgist. And all three of them were ordained bishops on the same day by John Paul on March 19th, 1998. Beautiful
Which
ceremony.
Which reminds me, the pharmacist from the Vatican has just retired after more than 50 years in the pharmacy.
Oh, that's in Brother Himes, right?
That's right.
He is absolutely incredible. He's been like 55 years that he's been there. I think he and the pharmacy kind of date almost to the same period. It's just astonishing. You can't imagine it without him, you know. But there's wonderful stories behind the pharmacy. You know, we're jumping into a whole other area, but it's a good one to go into, because I wonder how many of our listeners have ever read or been told that one of the things the Vatican Pharmacy does, they do have medicines that other pharmacies in Rome don't have. So Romans with a doctor's prescription can often find a difficult medicine there. But they also give medicines to the poor. And last week I had a friend in town who needed urgent care. I got the medicines early in the morning to bring to this person's hotel, and they got on a plane and went back to the United States. So I had literally, you've heard the expression, left holding the bag. I had this bag full of, I had the syringes, the medicines for the shots he had to get. What could I do? So I brought it to the Vatican Pharmacy, knowing that everything was totally unopened, of course, knowing that they will give this to or use this for people who cannot afford it. So,
and the pharmacy is actually run by the St. John of God brothers.
Yes. Yeah. It's worth a visit. So get a prescription, folks. And
well, it's a beautiful pharmacy. And in addition to all the drugs and everything else that you'd normally expect in a pharmacy, they seem to have a lovely selection of local honey. It's all different sorts of honey.
I think they have some things made by brothers, or maybe their own brothers, I don't know. But they do. They have very unusual things in addition to the normal medications.
Because and the St. John of God brothers were specifically founded for health care.
Hospital order, right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So if you have a prescription, you live in Rome, just walk in the Sant'Anna Gate and tell them you're going to the Vatican Pharmacy. I think you have to get permission. I'm not sure if just the prescription is enough, but you might have to get a permission slip. In any case, try it and visit the pharmacy, and they also have cosmetics and baby food and quite a number of items. I think they'll even take your blood pressure.
Well, it's quite an amazing place, and it's worth a visit.
Well, congratulations, brother, on your years and years of service.
You've been listening to Joan Lewis. To find out more about Joan or to ask her a question, please visit our website at vaticanradio.org.